Hello and welcome back to another episode of Farewell. I'm your host, Clay Skipper. Today we are talking about fatigue. Well, more accurately, Steve Magnus will be talking about fatigue and we will mostly be listening. Fatigue has been on the top of my mind for a few reasons. One is that Brad recently made me aware of the fact that I say it incorrectly. I've been saying fatigue when it's fatigue, so that's one. But more importantly, it has been top of my mind because I've been reading the book Slow Productivity about Cal Newport, which is partly about how to work in a way that doesn't cause burnout. And then also this past weekend, as you might already know, because I've talked about it exhaustingly on this podcast, I ran a half marathon and I basically spent the entire race walking that tightrope between being just the right amount of fatigued and being too fatigued. So it's been on my mind. But to make it less about me, I think fatigue and our relationship to fatigue is a perpetual question for anyone who is striving to achieve something hard. If you are scared of your tiredness or your fatigue, or you don't know how to push through exertion, you might fall short of your goals. If you overdo it, it can lead to burnout, exhaustion, injury. So knowing how to walk that line is really important. And that's why we need a coach. And that's why I'm grateful we have Steve. So here's Steve on how to make friends with and better understand your fatigue.
Fatigue is about nuance. There's different levels of it. And I think often when we look at fatigue, what we do is we think, oh, it's going to the well. It's being completely exhausted. It's seeing how far we can push. It's going until we, you know, puke and have nothing left. And that is a variation of it. But I think what we lose in that is what I'd call the nuance of fatigue. So if you look at runners, fatigue is the thing that we face. Like the entire sport is built around, especially distance runners, is built around how do I manage this fatigue so that I get exhausted right as I cross the finish line? Not before, you know, not well after where I have enough in the tank, but when I cross the finish line. And what that does is it forces you to essentially become friends with fatigue, meaning you get to understand the nuance of how you feel and how that projects out into the future. And the analogy I would give is, you know how on all of our cars, it has like this, how many miles left until your gas tank is empty thing, right? So we all kind of have that, right? How much can we go until we're empty? But in our cars, they have intentionally make it not accurate because they know people are dumb. So the car manufacturers say, you know what? We're going to build in 40 miles so this idiot doesn't drive until zero and then doesn't have gas. We're going to make sure that he feels that pressure to fill up once it hits zero so that he's not stranded. Well, I would challenge people in navigating athletic pursuits it's all about having a more accurate kind of internal barometer of when you're going to hit zero. And the way to do that isn't to just say, hey, I'm going to cope with this. Hey, I'm just going to survive this fatigue, but it's to explore it, to become friends with it, to pay attention to it. And the one thing that I would say, okay, listeners, what do you take away from this? Is that the way you understand fatigue is, as I said, is pay attention to it instead of ignore or push it away. I need to know that as I progress from feeling good to kind of tired to really tired to getting close to exhausted, I need to know what that all feels like. What does my breathing do? How does it get harder? What tends to go? What is my limiter? Do I start feeling my fatigue in my legs and my quads? Do I feel it in my arms? Do I get tight and feel tense in my body? Does my breathing go first? We all have different kind of parameters and indicators. But if you know your kind of indicators because you've spent a lot of time dealing with things and like navigating and paying attention to it, you can project when you're going to hit zero a lot better.
Now, are there applications of this for people who are maybe not in as intense of a training cycle, like how they should relate to fatigue?
Absolutely. It's the same. And actually, we know this outside of sport. There was a wonderful paper years ago that essentially asked the question, is fatigue an emotion? And the answer they kind of came to was like, yeah, kind of it is. And the reason is because emotions are essentially communicating information to us, right? If we feel sad, it's telling us something of like, oh, okay, like we have this feeling of sadness, which might mean I need to go connect with a friend or like, you know, do something that's a little energizing or, you know, do something that I like. So emotions and feelings kind of communicate information to us. And no different than what I was telling you on like, hey, to really understand fatigue, you got to become friends with it. We know through decades of research that to really understand our emotions and make them useful, you got to become friends with them. And the person who really taught me this, not surprisingly, is my wife, who at the time was a kindergarten teacher. And she said, hey, Steve, do you know why kids, kindergarten kids, like throw tantrums? I'm like, I have no idea. And she essentially says, well, they feel something. And because they're kindergartners, they have no idea what that feeling means. And they just kind of freak out and lose it. And you ask them what happened after, you know, Johnny stole a pencil or didn't get picked at recess or whatever bad thing they had happen. And they all say, oh, I feel sad. And the answer is always sad. Why? Because sadness is the only thing they understand. But if you asked an adult, what happens, you can distinguish between, I feel sad, I feel unhappy, I feel lonely, I feel betrayed. We have all these other descriptors. And what we know is that the more descriptors and nuance you have around explaining your emotions, the better you're able to deal with them. It's the same with fatigue. The more you understand it, the more nuance or layers you have between saying, yeah, I'm kind of tired, but my breathing is good. So therefore, I know I have this kind of fatigue, so I can keep going at this pace or handle this at this amount versus maybe when something else is happening, the better we're able to kind of reach our performance. So it's about that understanding the nuance of it all.
It also makes me think, to your earlier point, you would respect it more, because something I'm thinking of like hunger, if you're hungry, you wouldn't just tell yourself like, well, don't need to eat. I'm tough. I don't need to eat. I can just push through hunger. And with fatigue, a lot of people do that, right? They do just say, well, I'm not tired. I can push through. But then that ends up having adverse effects down the line.
You know, the example I like to give here is that expert athletes, and that doesn't have to mean professional, it just means you've been doing it a long time, are really in tune with what is this feeling of fatigue that is going to lead to something catastrophic like an injury versus what is something, oh, this is just meaning this leg or this muscle is tired and I can keep going a little bit, might have to slow down a bit. But like that distinction is important, because if I'm running along and I feel my calf starting to tire, if I understand the nuance, I can say, oh, this is tired and it is heading towards straining or pulling or what have you. And if I keep doing this, I'm going to be an idiot because I'm going to be out for weeks with this calf strain versus, oh, this is tired because, you know, I'm running hard in lighter shoes and this is just, you know, part of the process. If you don't understand that nuance, you know, you could head towards disaster. If you don't understand that nuance, you say, oh, I'm being tough, and you push through and then you strain your calf and then you can't exercise for a month. Like, that was not a tough decision. That was a dumb decision. So that's why, again, that kind of nuance and understanding it is so important.
Yeah, I feel like that's to go to the mental side of it too. That's probably how you get burnout, is not recognizing, oh, I've been burning the candle at both ends and need a break. This also makes me think, should people who are maybe also not intense athletes go to the well or go see God every once in a while so they can play with fatigue, so they can have a better understanding of it?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, not too often, but if you don't experience a heightened emotion, or in this case, fatigue, then you don't really, your kind of alarm is set artificially low, right? So if you go do a really hard workout or do something really challenging, or on the opposite end, like do something that's really exciting and joyful and brings like exhilaration or adrenaline to your life, what that does is it kind of resets your set point. It says, oh, okay, this is what something that is really scary is, or, you know, really exciting or really tiring. And if we don't reset that set point every once in a while, what happens is it creeps lower and lower and lower and lower to where your body all of a sudden thinks like, oh, something that's moderately fatiguing is like an existential crisis. And the best example I can give here, and I've experienced this before, is maybe after a very long layoff or a long injury, you come back and you do your first kind of like hardish run after you haven't in a while. Your brain is screaming at you to stop like so early, so often. And this has happened to me and I've been running for decades. But what it is it's just my alarm has reset because I haven't experienced that level of fatigue in a really long time. So to my body and brain, it's foreign. So of course it wants to be overprotective. So every once in a while to reset that alarm, we've got to do something that kind of reminds itself like, okay, like this is not like this easy or moderate thing isn't death. You're going to be okay.
All right. Thank you, Steve, for that. One thing I would add to what Steve said, he mentioned noticing the signs that your body gives you when it's physically fatigued, noticing where in your body that fatigue first shows up so you can be aware that it's there. I think that's also a really useful framing, or at least one that I've found useful when it comes to mental fatigue. So for instance, when I'm working, if I'm putting in a block of deep single tasking work, there's usually a moment towards the end of that block, it usually comes for me between 90 minutes and 2 hours, when I have certain mental tics. So I notice myself jumping into my inbox or checking my phone for text messages or getting on Twitter or logging onto ESPN.com to see where the New York Knicks are in the NBA standings. And I realize, oh, I'm doing this because my body's getting tired. In the same way that on a run, you might notice, oh, my leg is locking up or my breathing is disjointed because I'm tired. Having that awareness of how your cognition reacts to being tired in the same way you have an awareness of how your body reacts to being tired is super helpful, because then you can know, oh, okay, I'm hitting a wall. It might be time to take a break. That's a framing I found really useful. Maybe you'll find it helpful too, but we'll leave it there for today. Hopefully that gives you an idea of how to make friends with your physical and mental fatigue, but not overdo it to the point where you get injured or burnt out or exhausted. We'll be back on Thursday with another interview. I look forward to talking to you all then. Until I do, have a great week.